appreciate the Lord. God's good. I've had that song on my heart. I'm amazed that he loved me. I'm amazed how merciful the Lord is, how much he puts up with us, and how long-suffering he is. I don't deserve his love, but he's good all the time. He's good when I'm doing right. He's good when I'm not. He's good when I'm up and when I'm down. I just want to give him glory. Well, I praise the Lord for God's not through. God's still able to answer prayer. Still saving sinners. Still helping backsliders. Amen. Aren't you glad God's still in control? Amen. It's not over. It's not through. He's not wringing his hands. He's not worried. He's still in control. Amen. Galatians chapter number 6, if you would, please. And while you're turning there, I just wanted to say something about teen time. We're not quitting. And I talked to the preacher and I said, you know, we don't want to give the idea. I don't want to feel like we're backing up. We may switch things up just a little bit, but God did a work in my heart recently, and I just want to keep moving forward for the Lord. Amen. May not always be exactly like we want it, but God's in control, and amen. Well, just pray for us. Pray God to touch it, and I want the touch of God on it. And pray God to touch us as we meet on those Monday nights and as we go to the youth meetings, as we try to stay, keep the youth group together and keep it unified. And got several graduating this year. But I want to see God do a work. I'm praying God raise up some young men. God raise up some young ladies. Amen, that's willing to serve the Lord. We're not there to entertain. We're not there. I was talking to the preacher, you know, lots of people's good at a lot of different things. And I hear about a lot of youth programs and how they do different things. And I told the preacher, I said, preacher, I don't know how to do a whole lot of that stuff. I said, all I know how to do is preach. But I believe it works. It might not draw a great big crowd, but I believe preaching works. And by God's grace, that's what we're going to do. Amen. Galatians chapter number 6, you pray for us. We got a message on our hearts, and pray God to help us preach it. Amen. Galatians 6, verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For if he soweth to the flesh, he shall reap of the flesh corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit, he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit, reap everlasting life. Shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Four times a charm. Amen. Verse number 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you, God, for being so good to us. Lord, we give you glory tonight and give you honor and praise. God, we just lift you up, God. Thou art holy and high, and Lord, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for the praises that we've heard. God, you're good all the time. We just give you glory and ask you in Jesus' precious name, take your word and help us tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to look at the phrase tonight, let us not be weary in well-doing. let us not be weary in well doing. The word weary means, it says, means having your strength much exhausted by toil or violent exertion. In other words, when you, it just kind of means give out. And I find out a lot of times we simply just give out, and we get give out spiritually, we get give out emotionally, we get give out physically. And Paul's admonishing us here to let us not be weary in well doing. And I remember I was reading over in Numbers chapter 21, verse number 4, and the people of Israel cried unto God, and they said, Lord, if you'll deliver the people of Canaan into our hands, we'll destroy the cities and all the people in the cities. And God delivered, God answered prayer. And the next verse, in verse number 4, it said it talks about them traveling from one place to another, and it said the people became much discouraged because of the way. And I find out a lot of times, even right after victory, even right after God does something big or God answers prayer, as a matter of fact, I find out especially when God does something real and big in our lives, we'll find ourselves soon after that under attack. Soon after that, it seems like we'll make a push and we'll push and push, and maybe for a special meeting or maybe for some victory in our life. And as soon as God answers prayer, amen, we let up. And it won't be long after that we'll find ourselves discouraged or weary in spirit and seem like it's like pulling teeth even to do simple things like reading our Bible or praying or telling somebody about Jesus. And we find ourselves getting discouraged in the way. Amen. I also remember over in the book of Mark, chapter number 6, verse Jesus constrained his disciples right after he fed the multitudes of 5,000 with just a few fish and some bread. He constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go over to the other side of the sea. The first time he told them to do this, he went with them. This time he stayed back. And we find out Jesus, he said while he was there alone on the land, they were in the midst of the sea. And in verse number 48, the Bible says, and he saw them toiling in rowing. Well, I find myself sometimes toiling in rowing. You know what that means? That means they were rowing with all that they had, but they wasn't gaining no ground. Amen. It's like they were just sitting there spinning their wheels. And the word toiling has to do with labor, which involves fatigue. In other words, they was getting wore out, or they had rowed until they had become weary and they couldn't go on anymore. Now, the first time we find the people of Israel, it seemed like they were weary or they were discouraged because of the daily grind. There was no special situation. It was simply travel. It was simply the daily routine, amen, that brought them down and kept them from being encouraged. It kept them from having joy in their heart. And here in Mark 6:48, we find that it's a storm that causes them to be weary. Amen. They're fighting a particular situation that seems to zap the energy out of them. And they're trying to accomplish God's will, and when they get right in the middle of accomplishing God's will, there comes the storm. But I like that part. It said he saw them toiling and rowing. Amen. They never got, I was thinking today, how in the world did he get, they was way out in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the night, and he was back on the land, said he saw them. That's my Lord. You might not can see him, but he's still got an eye on you. Amen. You might not can feel him. You might not can hear him, but he's still got an eye on you. Amen. They were toiling, or they were tired and weary, amen, from rowing all night long. And then also in Luke chapter number 5, I find Jesus coming up to Simon Peter. They'd fished all night long. And he got in Simon Peter's boat, and they pushed out just a little bit, and Jesus taught a lesson from the edge of the water. And when he got done teaching, he looked over at Peter and he said, Peter, launch out into the deep for a draught. That means a mess of fish. He said, Peter, launch out and we're going to catch a mess of fish. Guess what Peter said? He said, Lord, we done fished all night. We've toiled all night and we didn't catch anything. You know what I find out? Sometimes we get weary because when we fish, we don't catch anything. Sometimes we get weary Because when we fish, we don't catch anything. Let me do it this way. Sometimes we get weary from knocking on doors because when we knock on doors, we don't catch anything. Sometimes we get weary from praying because when we pray, we seemingly don't see anything. Sometimes we get weary from inviting and inviting and inviting because when we invite, we don't see anybody come seemingly. That's right. Hey, we get weary, amen, because our nets are empty. But you know what Jesus said? He said, cast anyhow. Amen, cast anyhow. Hey, it's hard to get somebody to cast that's fished all night long and ain't caught anything. It's hard to get somebody to cast that's fished all night long till they're just simply giving. Hey, if you cast long enough and don't catch anything, you'll be exhausted and it won't seem that much fun. That's right, you'll lose your vision. You'll lose your enthusiasm. You'll lose your motivation. And then it comes down to strictly obedience, even though you don't have the vision, even though you don't have the desire, but God said, just cast it. And you know what? I'm glad He did, because He caught a mess of fish. Now, I believe all of us go through times when we get weary. But I'm going to preach just a little bit on watch out or beware for weariness. Beware of weariness. Paul said, let us not be weary in well-doing. Amen. We're supposed to be doing something for the Lord. Now, I don't always do everything I'm supposed to, and you don't either. But there's things that we're supposed to be doing, and I really was planning on doing something else, but the more I got in this passage, I found out everything I needed was right here in Galatians 6. And he said, let us not be weary in well-doing. Verse number 1. Let us not be weary as brethren. That's right, that's what we are. See, in verses 1 through number 8, he's got us divided up and he speaks to us on different levels. He said, brethren, that's what we are. Brothers, sisters, family. He said, brethren, Lord help us, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Now, we got different ways to say that. That sorry rascal, did you see what he did? You ain't heard what old so-and-so did, how they was dressed the other day when I saw him. You ain't ever going to believe old so-and-so's, he slam out of church. After all that God's done for him, saved him and his family, and that sorry rat won't work a lick, he's out of church. No, that's not what God said. God said if a brother be overtaken in a fault. You say, well, that sounds like something accidental. That's not, hey, I got to look, and that's what I thought. And I got to looking it up, and you know what the word fault means? It means to sideslip. An unintentional error or a intentional transgression. A sin. That's right. That means when that somebody you know or somebody I know, hey, I'm guilty too. We hear about something they did. God said they was overtaken in a fault. You know, when we mess up, we like to be overtaken in a fault. When they mess up, man, they messed it up. They sinned. They done got out of God's will. They're running away from God. They're blaspheming in the sight of God. An unholy man. That's what happens. Boy, it's always worse when it's on the other side of the fence. But it said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Number one, we're going to have to call it like it is. It's just simply somebody who's got overtaken in a fault. You said, but you don't know how far they went. No, but it started with them getting overtaken in a fault. And if when we read the rest of the verse, how we respond to the way they, what the mistake or the sin or the fault or the failure that they got messed up in, how we respond is going to determine what goes on in our life soon thereafter. That's right. Because there's a condition, there's a result, a consequence to how we treat them when they sin. When they goofed up, when they did something that's unspeakable. I know some sins mentioned in 1 and 2 Corinthians that I ain't even seen nobody commit, and I don't even know how I'd look anybody in the eyes, but God said if they've been overtaken in a fault, restore them. That's right. In the spirit of meekness. That means humbly. God help us. That means not looking down our nose at them just because they goofed up, just because they sinned, just because they made a mess out of it, just because they made the wrong decision in the time of temptation. Now we can call it anything we want to, but every one of us go through times of temptation. And we whitewash it when it's us, and we blackwash it when it's everybody else. That's why it always looks worse on somebody else. It's always easier to see the sin and the fault and the failure that other people commit than it is to see our own. And Paul said, let us not be weary in restoring, to pick up, to fix, to make right again that brother that fell into sin. But I've been doing some repenting today. I'm going to be honest with you, because there's some things I just don't understand how people get in the mess they get in. But I believe after looking at it, it started with just a time of temptation. And I know that I've made some bad decisions in some times of temptation. I believe we all have. I believe we'd all have to raise our hand if it was time to and say, I've been there and I've done that. Amen. I'm glad there were some spiritual brethren around that didn't stomp me while I was down. Amen. Says, ye which are spiritual, restore or pick up or fix them and make them right again. And guess what? Listen, oh God, help us right here. That don't always mean just overlooking it. Sometimes, and I hear things and things stick. I can't, my wife will send me to the store for two things. I promise, and I'll come back with 2 gallons of ice cream and some milk and some Oreos and forget everything she told me to get. I'm sitting with a list, even with a list. Some things I hear I can't forget if I wanted to. I remember Brother Billy Mitchell said this. Now listen close. A friend that'll tell you everything's okay when everything's all wrong ain't much of a friend at all. It's a whole lot easier to just hang out and be buddy-buddy with somebody and never say anything about the way they're slipping, amen, about the way they're falling, about the shape they're in spiritually, than it is to say, brother, I just want you to know I've been praying for you and I've been noticing you've been down a little bit. Hey, it's easy to just overlook it and not try to help them. Because I'll be honest with you, I got enough mess of my own. I don't like getting involved in somebody else's mess. But that's not the right way to be. God help us. That's right. Sometimes you got to reach out and you got to take the initiative and reach out and help somebody, amen, that's got themselves in a mess. Hello? Ain't you glad somebody reached out and helped you was in it when you was in a mess? That's right. You said, I ain't never been. You was lost and you was in a world of mess. That's right. And somebody, amen. Listen, in the spirit of meekness, you got to call it what it is. Amen. And consider yourself. In their trouble, consider yourself. Say, why? Listen, lest thou also be tempted. Would you like to have a little drink of their poison? Then go ahead and get cocky. Let us go ahead and get cocky and arrogant and point fingers and talk about them for the mess that they're in. Because if you would like to have, Lord help us, me, if we would like to have a little bit of what they're going through, all we got to do is act arrogant and cocky and forget that outside of the grace of God Almighty, we'd be in the same shape they're in. You say, well, not that shape. Yes, that shape. There's enough sin in your body and in my body to accomplish the most wicked, ungodly, unspeakable act that you know of. That's right. There's still plenty of sin in your body to get the job done. That's right. You say, but you don't know who I know. I don't care who you know. I know what this book says, and it says, lest thou also be tempted. And if God takes away the restraints and the compelling and the leadership of the grace of God, you'll find yourself in the same mud hole they're in and wishing somebody would act different than the way we act toward them sometimes. I can't get off verse 1. Also, we need to not get weary or not forget to or not quit bearing one another's burdens. Verse number 2. That means help somebody carry their load. Hey, I get under a load sometimes. I don't even know where it comes from. And I need some help. I can't even explain it. But somebody will come along, amen, and pray. Or somebody will come along and just be there. Did you know sometimes presence is enough? That's just a friend, just to be there, just to walk beside you. Amen, just to hang out. Hey, sometimes a phone call go a long way. I can't always do everything everybody else said, but I wouldn't mind having to tell them no once in a while. You understand what I'm saying? And bear their burdens. You know, a lot of times we increase the burdens. By the way, let's move on. Don't be weary. Don't quit as brethren. That's our job. That's what we do. We help one another when they're down. Because one day we're going to be down and we're going to need it. Number two, let's not be weary in taking care of ourselves. Verse number three. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Boy, we strut sometimes, don't we? Hello, come on, you do. I know you do. You get you just will strut sometime, thinking we something. Guess what? We ain't nothing. That's right. We need to be honest with ourselves about ourselves. Remember what shape we... Hey, if God... All God has to do is just draw back a little bit. Remember the disciples, first time they got in the boat and crossed over the sea? Jesus said, let's go. And they said, all right, let's go. And he got on the boat with them. Man, they was fired up, ready to go. And he just drew back a little in the shadow where they couldn't see him. They said, man, we're dying. We ain't going to make it. And that's what happens to us. If he draws back just a little bit, boy, we feel like we're going under. Hey, we need to be honest with ourselves about ourselves. Verse number four, let every man prove his own work. And then shall he have, I had trouble with this one. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Let every man prove his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. You know what I believe that means? You can fix me up afterwards, but I believe it means that not only do we need to be helping others, not only do we need to be lifting up others who fall, and not only do we need to be honest with ourselves about ourselves, we need to cultivate and develop and work on our relationship, our personal relationship with our Lord. Why? So that we can see Him do some things that we prayed about. We can see Him do some things that we've been burdened about. I'm excited to hear about God doing something for other people. But I want to know that God that sits on the throne of heaven, that God that created the stars, the moon, and the sun, listens when Mark Hill prays and saves those whose Mark Hill's prays for, amen, and answers the prayers that not so that I'm somebody, but that I may rejoice in the things that God's doing for me and not just in the things that God's doing for somebody else. It's not enough just to go to a church where God does something for the group of people. We want, amen, God wants us to have a relationship, amen, where He does things for us personally, amen, we have a testimony personally, amen, for what He's doing for us. We got to cultivate what's going on in our own life. Verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burdens. I mean, that bothers me. Because just a minute ago it said bear one another's burdens. And I ain't real smart, but I know if we're supposed to be bearing one another's burdens, then that means somebody else is supposed to be bearing ours. That's right, because if you flop it, you know what I'm saying? But you know what that means? It means you got to pull your own weight too. You might not be able to carry your whole load, but you ought to try. That's right, you ought not be lazy and just wait on somebody else to get my responsibilities done. Amen, spiritually. Amen, it's not enough just to bring a name in and that's right, but we ought to be praying about them too. It's not enough just to pass our prayer request alone. Amen, we need to be putting some effort in our own selves. It's not everybody else's responsibility to take care of my spiritual condition. I have a personal responsibility to my Lord. Hey, God wants us all to live right. That's right. Verse number 6. Let us not be weary in helping the brethren. Let us not be weary, amen, in taking care of our personal responsibilities. I'm missing my outline up, but verse number 6, and God help us. Let us, Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Maybe some of y'all knew what that meant before I read that, but I didn't. And I found out there's three or four different commentaries, and they all got three or four different, completely different ideas. But I believe what I think he's talking about. It says, let him that is taught, that means us that's sitting out here, communicate with him that teaches. Let him that is taught, now he's talking to a church, that means those that sit out here, those of us here, communicate with the one who stands up here. And we all know who we are, and we all know who he is. And by the way, it's not a they, it's a he. Anyways, that's just a little, And you know what the word communicate means? It means to convey, to give. Let those that are sitting out here give to the one that stands up here. You said, I thought we give to God. We do. But the Bible says we need to be given to him, not just money. See, that's how come it sounds so funny. That's right. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, he gives labor. We need to be giving him labor. He gives prayer. We need to be giving him prayer. He carries burdens. We need to be carrying him some burdens. That's right. Regardless of who it is, amen, whoever's up here teaching those of us down here, amen, it's our responsibility to give back. Amen. And he hadn't quit on us, and let us not quit on him. That's right. Amen. Hey, he shed some tears and he's carried some burdens. Amen. It's our responsibility. Amen. If somebody does something for us, ain't it only right that we do the same for them? Somebody stands by us, ain't it? Catch my breath. Ain't it only right that we do the same for them? You said, I don't serve a man. I serve the Lord. Yeah, but if you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to get back up here. That's right. You can't do one without the other. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse number 7. Be not deceived. This verse scared me to death. Because, man, I mess up sometimes, and I'm just waiting for God just to whop. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Amen. We need not to be weary at taking care of the brethren. We need not to be weary taking care of ourselves. We need not to be weary, amen, giving back to the man of God or following the man of God, but we need not to be weary as gardeners. That's what it means when you're sowing stuff. When you're sowing. And you know what I always thought, and I'm sure it can be applied this way, but I always had it in my mind, that means if you get kind of messed up, then watch out, because God's fixing to send some judgment in your life. And he might. But he don't have to. See, he don't have to do anything. He operates. He's holy. But he loves, and he's a God of mercy. And just because God did something for you, don't get mad if he didn't do it to them. Amen. God knows us on an individual basis. And he's not accountable to the way that we think he ought to do things. That's right. What I believe it means is, amen, he that sows to the flesh, he that constantly pampers, amen, and indulges in pleasures of the flesh, and he that works and labors to appease the flesh, well, they're going to reap what they're working for. If it's a boat, it ain't no wrong with boats. If you got one that's bothering you, I'll take it and fish out of it. Won't we? Where are we at? Won't we? But if that's what you're working for, if that's what you're craving, and that's what drives you, and that's what you gotta have, you're sowing to the flesh. And you might get what you're working for, but when you get what you're working for, you're only gonna have something corruptible. And one of these days, all that labor is gonna rust away. You're sowing to the flesh, and you're gonna reap to the flesh corruption, corruptible things that's gonna fade away. But
those gardeners that sow to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. You see, we're not just working for down here because we don't even never know when down here is going to be over with. We're working to lay up treasures on the other side. And by the way, I believe we can reap. I mean, I know it said eternal life, but I got to thinking about it. And see, we don't do anything to earn salvation. So if we're not working to earn salvation, what's he talking about? Must be talking about some rewards when we get on the other side. Or maybe even just a little bit of heaven this side of eternity. Amen. But when you sow to the flesh, all you can reap is of the flesh, corruption, corruptible things. When you sow to the Spirit, when you're doing things that God bade us do, that God that is of the Spirit, by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, and for God's glory, you're going to reap spiritual blessings. Let us not be weary sowing, amen, to the Spirit. Let us not be caught. Let this don't just get so geared in down here that everything we want, everything we work for, everything we got to have, amen, comes with a price tag. Because if you do, that's all you're going to have. Amen. Let's move on. Let us not be weary in well-doing. And here's the motivation of it all. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Not we might reap. But when we're tired and we just don't feel like it. Peter didn't feel like casting the net. But God said do it, and he did it, and God, he brought in a mess of fish. Even though we might not have the vision, we might not have the enthusiasm, if we'll just work on anyhow and not faint. That word faint means relax or quit. Has anybody ever relaxed or quit on God? Amen. Hello, I have. A lot of us, never mind. Anyways, let's not quit taking care of the brethren. Let's not faint. Let's not give up. Let's not quit taking care of our own selves, our personal lives, our walk with the Lord. Let's not quit giving back, amen, to the hymn that stands in this pulpit. Let's not quit sowing under the Spirit that we might reap under the Spirit. Amen. I believe God telling us tonight, let's just don't quit. No matter how you feel, no matter what it looks like, no matter what you see when you look out, when you survey the situation, just don't quit. No matter what kind of pressure you're under, just don't quit. It's why I don't feel like it's going to accomplish anything. Don't quit. Amen? Because even though you might not, it's not about what we can do. It's not about physical ability or intellectualism. It's not about what we know or how we can talk or how we can, amen? It's not about that. It's when we obey, amen, God gives the increase. Amen. Let's not quit. We'll all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Preacher, if you'll come. Well, I believe somebody may be thinking about quitting. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, that means in your time, in his time, we shall reap if we faint not. Thank you so much.